What's up, everyone? Today, I had the pleasure to chat with American country Americana singer, songwriter, member, three times Lady Trio, and Caroline Pine duo Kennedy Scott. In this newest episode, Kennedy talked about being inspired by her grandfather, folkabilly musical style, upcoming first solo project produced by Mo Pitney, admiration for Nancy Griffith, Emmylou Harris, three times Lady Trio, the creation of Caroline Pine duo, first vinyl she ever owned, social media's influence on music, a battle that she's fighting but hasn't told anyone, what younger self would be happy or sad about her today, favorite meal to have, and more. Now, with that being said, hope you enjoy my conversation with Kennedy. Hello, Kennedy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going amazing. I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about with you and a lot of things to catch up on. But first and foremost, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've been busy, like you said, with all of the projects, duo, trio, solo stuff. But it's the good kind of busy, the kind of busy I've prayed for. So I'm doing good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And how's I guess how's the married life going?
No, married life is amazing. I have been blessed with a husband that is really good to me. And I know that people say, "Oh, your life's over when you get married," and they joke about that sort of thing, but it kind of feels like my life started when I got married, and I feel the complete opposite about that. So I love it. It's great.
Absolutely. And tell us about like a little bit about your background and sort of how you first got into music.
I love all sorts of music, and I can thank my grandfather for that. He's the one who taught me to play and sing, and he loved a lot of Roger Miller, Emmylou Harris, which is what you hear me sing in the trio. So it's a dream come true for me to sing some of my hero's music. And he taught me to play and sing, and he was in a band traveling around upstate New York for as long as I can remember, so I've been on stages since I was, gosh, I don't know, 3 years old, it feels like.
Absolutely. And Emmylou Harris, who just celebrated her birthday as well. So happy belated birthday to Emmylou Harris. It's incredible how long that some artists can go for in their careers. And she's still going and going strong still, even with Vince Gill and George Strait and Alan Jackson. And the CMT Music Awards was just held recently as well. Did you watch any of the CMT Music Awards?
Yeah, I did. I watched a little bit. And it's just crazy how country music has come along. And to think it's as big as it is now, because when Emmylou Harris was doing country music and people before her, sometimes it wasn't even seemed as cool. And now it's cool to be a country music fan, and I love that.
Was there any favorite performances that you took from that night?
I think everybody did a great job. I really don't think anybody could have done better than one or the other. I love everybody in country music now, and I think this day and age we're getting a mix of older country music starting to come back, and traditional country music starting to come back, and I just love Lainey Wilson so much. I think that she's really bringing some of the things that Dolly brought to the table back to country music, and yeah, I think they all did great.
Absolutely. And I was watching the CMT Awards. There were so many storylines from that night that I will take away. One being Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll really took over that night. Something about Jelly Roll cracks me up. His award, like acceptance speeches, are the most legendary thing you'll ever see in your lifetime. But also I feel like there was a lot of honorable mentions, I guess, for Shania Twain. There was that surprise performance with Alanis Morissette doing "You Ought to Know" with Lainey Wilson and all sorts of different female artists. Then there was Lynyrd Skynyrd's "Sweet Home Alabama" and "Simple Man" tribute, which was really cool to see. For me, I think watching that, there was a lot of performances that really stuck out to me. I thought the opening was pretty cool too. I like Tyler Hubbard's "Dancing in the Country" as well, and also "Long Neck," "Way to Go," John Party, and "Midland." That was really cool to see as well.
Midland's my favorite. I love them so much. I think he sounds like Dwight Yoakam, the lead singer of Midland, and he's got that cool neo-traditional thing.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about I know we just talked about earlier about but like we talked about it briefly about Three Times Lady Trio, but I want to go more in depth about it because this is a group consisting of you, Hannah Blaylock, who I just recently had on, and Lauren Massetti, who is also just a really talented artist and really an amazing person altogether. And she was on American Idol, and that's how I found her.
Yeah.
So talk to me about when that sort of clicked in that you guys wanted to become a trio.
Okay. So a few years ago, actually, wow, it was 2018, me and Hannah met. And we started doing some music together. We just realized instantly that we grew up on a lot of the same people, a lot of Nancy Griffith and some of the older country music, and became soul music sisters. And we've really bonded over the trio records. Like I said, my papa taught me to play and sing, and those trio records were just iconic and everywhere we went. And we tried to learn every song that was on them. And me and Hannah shared that. So we decided we wanted to do a trio tribute show. And this was just kind of a dream at the time. And we thought we'd learn the songs, and we were looking for a Linda Ronstadt. And I had also seen Lauren Massetti online, and I told Hannah, I was like, dang, I've got a Linda Ronstadt. She sounds just like Linda, and she'd be perfect. And I sent Hannah her Instagram. And Hannah was like, oh, that's it. And I messaged Lauren. We had mutual friends around the country and bluegrass industry. And I messaged her and asked her, and she was like, oh my gosh, this is a dream come true. And it was a huge passion project for us. So we started doing those trio tribute shows. We did a rehearsal, we learned all their songs, learned the parts, and just tried to do them justice, which, as you know, is hard to do when it's Emmylou Harris and Dolly Parton and Linda Ronstadt. But we got together and did those trio shows, and it seemed everybody was all fired up about it, and we kept getting messages and emails and people asking when we're playing again. And so it just kind of fell in our lap that we were like, man, we should pursue a trio. It seems like people really want us to do this thing, and we love singing together. So Nana, if you know Nana, Lauren's Nana, she is, our honorary fourth member of the band. We love Nana. She came up with the name Three Times a Lady. So we started performing as Three Times a Lady, and decided we were gonna write for our own project, record original music. We started writing a couple months ago, and we're hoping to write for a record and record a record and release it under Three Times a Lady. So.
Absolutely. And I have to say, Three Times Lady Trio, such a really cool thing you guys are doing. And I love the content you're putting out there as well. It's really cool to see now different I guess groups or different individuals of all sorts of different sort of calibers of voices coming together to create a harmonious group called Three Times Lady Trio. If you haven't already, go follow them on their socials. They're a wonderful group. There's a funny story about groups, Runaway June especially. I was watching the Bobby Bones show, and they were interviewing Runaway June and their newest member. It wasn't Natalie Stovall, it wasn't the other girl, it was the one in the middle. I forget who it was, I forget what her
Evie.
name was. Yes, Evie.
Evie, yeah.
And Natalie kind of told this funny story of how we couldn't fall in love with the first person we talked to, but then we ended up we totally did. And it so happened to be the same story with you guys. You found
Yeah.
Lauren Massetti online, and you probably said in your minds, we can't fall in love with the first person we meet, but you totally did. Tell us about how you sort of fell in love with Lauren's talent.
I think that we were kind of already in love with Lauren, just seeing her online. She just has such a cool thing about her. And we had all been fans of each other, which I think is a cool thing about our group, is that we're such big fans of each other. And in our solo careers too, we all really respect each other's gifts and what we bring to the table. Lauren's easy to fall in love with. It, I mean, it was just, if we could have had anybody better, there is no one in our minds. So we just got lucky.
Absolutely. And I'm actually going to put the video of you guys performing High Sierra live as a clip here. To me about that sort of video of you guys performing High Sierra live. What was that like?
High Sierra is one of my favorite ones to sing live. I think that the harmonies are really strong in that song. When I listen to those trio records, that's one of my top three that I always remember and think of when I think of the two records that they recorded out of the 24 songs. I always think of those memories and High Sierra and even Cowgirls Get the Blues. You know, those were my top three that I always thought about. And we got to do it at Third and Lindsley and debut our first show as Three Times a Lady. And that's just one of our favorite ones to sing.
Absolutely. And I was so confused on the group name Three Times a Lady, because there was a song by Lionel Richie and the Commodores called Three Times a Lady. And you know, I was so confused on whether that was a group name or if that was Lionel Richie's song that you guys just happened to call yourselves by. Was that ever, like, did that ever come into play where you're just naming the group three times a lady, but come to find out it's a Lionel Richie and Commodore song that you named your group by?
We always knew it was a Lionel Richie song. And Nana knew that was a song too. And that title of that song is just so catchy. And when we got up, Lauren wanted to call us the Three Non-Blondes, which would also have been pretty funny, you know, because of the Four Non-Blondes group. And we're all brunette girls, but Three Times a Lady just stuck. I mean, Nana said it and immediately we were like, that's it. We love it. And so it doesn't hurt that it was a Lionel Richie song. We love him too.
Absolutely. And we have to talk about Mo Pitney and your upcoming projects that you're working on. Are you releasing an album soon or are you working on it?
Yeah, we're in the studio. So we've been writing for this project. I've been writing with Mo pretty often, writing with a guy named Bobby Tomberlin, and lots of other great writers, writing with Lauren, writing with Hannah. And we started writing for this project. It's my first solo one. So I was writing with Mo and was like, man, I need somebody to help tell my story. I've never told my story before as a solo artist, as who I am, and introduce the world to the kind of art that I like to make. And Mo just seemed like the perfect fit. And I asked him, I was like, man, will you produce my record and help me tell this story to the world? And this is his first production that he's ever done as a producer. So he took it on and he's just flown with it. We're in the studio at Jim Moose Brown's. He's great in his own right and great keys player and singer and amazing songwriter. And we've been over there recording. We're almost finished with three songs and hoping to get seven and hoping to get them released maybe by the end of the summer.
Absolutely. Do you have a favorite Mo Pitney song that comes to mind?
I have two favorite Mo Pitney songs, I think. Actually, maybe three. I grew up on a lot of gospel music. I grew up singing in the church. And so I'm always drawn to gospel music. And I think his Give Me Jesus is just one of the best versions I've heard. But as far as songs that he released that were original songs, He didn't write this one, I don't believe, but he recorded a song called It's Just a Dog. And have you heard that one?
No, I have not.
Oh, you've got to listen to that one. It is so good. It makes me cry every time. If you've had a dog that you love, you will understand. But and then there's another one that's just amazing. It's called a Clean Up on Aisle 5. So if you've not heard that one either, Clean Up on Aisle 5 should definitely be on your list of going down the Mo Pitney rabbit hole on his record.
Actually, I have his album called Ain't Looking Back, Mo Pitney. And one of my favorite songs is the first song on the album. A Music Man is probably one of my favorites on that album. And he basically talks about, if people don't know what that song is, Mo Pitney kind of just talks about, he didn't want the spotlight to be put on him. He didn't come here just because he wanted the payments. He didn't want his name in lights. He just wanted to play guitar and sing his message, and for people when he leaves this world, to hear that this is what he wants to write as a music man. And so that's just such a poignant song, I felt. And is there any songs that you could tell people that have been personal to you that you're writing right now that you're excited for people to hear?
There's one song, especially on my record, that I'm really excited to finally put out into the world. It's called Mary Magdalene. And where I got the song is I came into a writing session, and when I was really young, my oldest brother got addicted to heroin and drugs, and there's a disciple in the Bible. Her name is Mary Magdalene, and she was possessed by seven demons. And even still, when Jesus set her free, it kind of seemed like the disciples didn't want her around. They always thought that she was going to fall and fail, and she was kind of a flight risk because of her past. They never let it go. And if you grow up in a small town and you do something, even though my brother is clean now, it kind of seems like people hold you to the things that you've done in the past. And so we wrote a song called Mary Magdalene on how they remind me of each other and being set free by Jesus. So I'm really excited for people to hear that one.
Of course, of course. And we have to also talk about your musical sound, because a lot of people say they're a country sound, they're Americana sound, but your sound is, I guess, defined as folkability or folkabilly. It's okay for people, let's make this into broader context. It's not hillbilly, first and foremost. It's folkabilly. Why was folkability sort of the, I guess, the definition of your sound?
I grew up on a lot of folk music. I grew up on a lot of Nancy Griffith, but I also grew up on a lot of bluegrass. And so while I don't really sing bluegrass music, I love it, and it's been a part of my soul since I was young. And so it's folk music, and so I'm not bluegrass and I'm not country, and maybe somewhere along the Americana lines, but mixing folk and bluegrass influences and the Graham Parsons and Emmylou Harris influences. Most people said it sound like folkabilly, and that just stuck.
Absolutely. And I find that really hilarious to call it folkabilly. That takes a lot of guts to call it folkabilly. And so we have to talk about also your duo, Carolina Pine. When did that first come about for you?
It was 2016 when I met Woody James. He is the guy in the duo. And he came down, and at this time I was playing on Broadway in Nashville, Tennessee. And he came down and he saw me, and I was in front of the Ryman stage, and he introduced himself and then came and saw me sing that day. And I was singing a Porter Wagoner song called Making Plans, which actually Hannah sings in the trio. And he was like, "Hey, would you want to do a duet with me on a video, and we'll post it on YouTube?" And we did, and I think it got hundreds of thousands of views. And at the time, we were just getting started, and we were like, "Wow, that's amazing! We've never had that sort of reach." And we kind of just fell into it. It was easy to sing together. I think in music, you just meet people that you melt with and that you blend with, and it's not hard. it's easy. And as soon as you find something easy to make that sort of magic with, I think you just stick with it. And that's what we did. And he's actually going to come over this week and we're going to work on some new stuff too. So we're excited to do some more Carolina Pine stuff as well.
For sure. And I was also, you know, you're talking about meeting different people at certain points in your life. And you ended up meeting Hannah, you ended up meeting Lauren, and then you ended up meeting Mo Pitney. And then you obviously met his wife, Emily Pitney.
Yeah.
And you guys performed a new original song called Shadows. There's so many things that stuck out to me about, I guess, your career-wise, but something that's important to talk about is, I guess, did you have a name change or something regarding the name change?
Yep. When I got married, I took my husband's last name, Scott.
Yeah, because I was actually like confused about whether or not there was a name change before the marriage, or was it after? But now getting the clarification, that makes total sense. Because
yeah.
Before you were named Kennedy Fitzsimmons, and now you are Kennedy Scott. Was that just always something in the back of your mind to take your husband's last name, or was that just something that came about?
Yeah, I've always wanted to take my husband's last name. I've always wanted to be a family unit with my family. And when I was thinking about changing my name for my career, I thought it might be a little confusing. And everybody that I talked to said, no, Scott's so much easier anyway. It's better for your career to have an easier name, and people will pronounce it and remember it. So, yeah, it was an easy decision.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I've talked with one person whose name is Stephen Michael Kabakis. He's a Canadian Elvis impersonator. And I was asking about his identity, because he changed his name. He went from Stephen Michaels Kabakis to just Steve Michaels. And I asked him why, you know, was that ever just something you wanted to change your identity with? Or was it just something that just wanted you for you to reintroduce yourself, I guess, as an artist or as a person? And I've always felt that was such an interesting question to ask. And now, as we're talking about your career as a whole, if your younger self met you now, what would make them happy or sad about you today?
I think my younger self would be really proud of me. I've come a long way in not just in music and honing my craft there, but I think I've come a long way in a person. I'm seeking out Jesus, and my faith is extremely important to me. The most important thing in my life. And I've really tried in the past, you know, 5, 10 years to just become the person I want to be. And all that has to do with my faith. And I think the younger me would be proud that I'm in Nashville and living my dream and actually did it and didn't let fear get in my way.
And if there was one thing that, I guess, that was something painful that you've been told in your career, what would that be?
Painful. There's a lot of pain in this career. There's a lot of people in this career. It's funny, if you post videos online and you just get haters. People just hate on those videos, and sometimes they're really great and really nice. And I think the hardest thing in this career to hear is no. But a lot of times that no becomes a blessing. Any times that I've heard no in my career, I've started a trio or something better has come. So no is just as important, even though it stings a little bit.
Absolutely. And You know, there's also this important thing about social media platforms and how that's sort of changed the whole game of music or anything, but particular music. How do you see social media and how it's sort of influenced a lot of what's happening now in the music industry?
Social media is good in the way of people. I wouldn't be able to, we probably wouldn't have found each other and been able to have this conversation if it wasn't for the reach that social media gives. Selfishly, I do miss the days when, you can fantasize about Willie Nelson playing in bars and some record label executive coming in to see him, and then he gets famous, and the lights turn on and he hits the big stage. And that is definitely something I romanticize about of those times that I think that I miss. But social media has given me a lot of things. I met Lauren through social media. I always joke on stage that she's the best thing I found online. But I've met so many just talented people through social media, and you get to hear all sorts of music of all different cultures if you want to. I mean, it spans worldwide rather than just being American music or Canadian music or wherever you're from. You get to hear things countries away, which I think is cool.
And speaking of music, what was your first vinyl record that you ever owned?
The Trio was my first vinyl record, and it was my papa's, and he gave me all of his old records, and the Trio was his favorite. So it's kind of full circle for me to be doing it three times a lady with Lauren and Hannah.
Absolutely. You know, I have a bunch of records that I own. And you know, there's just so many different, I guess, catalogs and music that I'm into, but majority of it, I guess, is country. I mean, there's anything with George Jones to
There
I guess
you
a little bit of Hank. But like majority of it, I guess, is Vince Gill, a lot of where I guess gravitate towards his song, Whenever You Come Around. You know, I've always adored that story that he told about it. You know, about a Amy Grant and how he first met her. You know, they were sitting in a karaoke, I guess, room, and he was just like really pretending to be like someone that was really trash at singing. And he kind of changed his name to cover up who he was. And he would call he well he said that his wife back then, or girlfriend back then, or friend, said that he called him Willis,
He
and
called
so
him what?
he called him Willis,
Willis.
Willis, and so he went to that karaoke place, and he started to sing really bad, and you know, Amy was kind of like, oh my gosh, what am I getting myself into? And then he went Stevie Wonder on her, and then Amy goes, you know, what's it called? That's who I know you from. You, that Alan Jackson boy.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, the story that I remember,
I
Vince.
had never heard that story. Thank you for sharing that with me. That is great.
Yeah, I mean, that's a quality story. And as we're wrapping up here, I want to really talk about, I mean, there are so many things that we could talk about, but I want to change this up. I want to have some fun here. You know, Hannah has been very clear about posting stories about food that she's made, and through Vietnamese food or whatever it is. We need to know, what is your favorite meal, or the best thing that you can cook, or your favorite meal that you actually gravitate towards, or favorite cuisine?
Well, this is embarrassing, but my favorite meal is chicken and dumplings, fried okra, and mashed potatoes and gravy. From the South, Southern, and I love Southern cooking through and through. If I had one last meal, I would go to Cracker Barrel. And I know that sounds so embarrassing, but that's what it is.
Absolutely. Well, here in my culture, we do make a lot of dumplings, because that's our staple. And I mean, like, there's so many things that we could choose from, I guess, our favorite cuisine. But To me, Vietnamese food is by far my favorite, hands down.
Yeah.
So I mean that's really hilarious to see how, I've always been so interested in what people eat on a daily basis. And I don't know if this is weird. There are people who can enjoy food while watching something that's related to food, or somebody eating food while you're eating food yourself, and that makes you hungry. Do you ever find yourself doing something like that?
Oh yeah. Yes, absolutely. I'm not really too picky. I love all sorts of food. So if a good commercial comes on, I'm immediately hungry.
Absolutely. Do you watch The Southern Weekend?
No, what is the Southern Weekend?
It's with Molly McKinney and Natalie Stovall. They go to different places in the South, and they just try the different foods in the South, and they basically travel to different like interesting places where people wouldn't go necessarily in the South, and to learn about the history about it.
Yeah.
You should definitely watch it. It's really good. That's what I watch when it comes to food, I guess. Southern Weekend, they went to Alabama. They went to Old Red, Blake Shelton's Honky Tonk. I mean, there's so many things, and this is his last season as a voice coach for Blake Shelton. Is there a favorite Blake Shelton that you kind of gravitate towards?
Just one of his favorite songs. I loved all of his old stuff. I'm trying to think of some of my favorites from his old stuff. His new stuff. I love the what is that? God Made a Country song. Gosh, what is it? It always gets me fired up.
God's Country.
Yes. I love that song. Every time I hear it, I'm instantly in a good mood. And I know it's probably not one of his more popular ones, but I love that song. And all of his old stuff was great. Even the stuff that he wrote with Miranda for whenever his brother passed. And I forget that what that one's called too. Either way, I love all of his stuff. I'm sad that he's leaving The Voice. I think that he was a giant part of that show.
For sure, for sure. And yeah, I mean, Blake's been a staple on that show for a long time now.
Yeah.
It is sad to see him go, but I think, it was right for him to really set aside that chapter and sort of open up and spend more time with the family. I think that's important to
Yeah.
note as well. So here's a question that I've never asked somebody on this podcast, but I'm going to start asking it now because I felt it's a good question to ask. What is a battle you're fighting that you haven't told anybody?
A battle that I'm fighting.
A battle that you're fighting, I guess it doesn't have to be with sicknesses or anything like that, but something, I
Yeah.
guess, a battle in general that you're fighting that you don't necessarily tell anybody about.
Yeah. I think the battle that comes easily for me, unfortunately, and also easily for anybody in this career is imposter syndrome, which is just when successes come your way, like with the trio and the successes I've had with Woody when we went and opened up for Alan Jackson, and you think that you're not worth that, and you think, how did I trick myself into getting here? I'm not actually that good, and imposter syndrome is something you kind of got to overcome in this business, because you have to believe in yourself, or nobody else will believe in you, and yeah, so it's a struggle to think that you're worth what's coming to you, but there's a reason why you're there, and so I have to tell myself that a lot.
Absolutely. My last few questions to you is these questions have challenged almost every single person that's come on this podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you it now. If there was, I guess, if there was anybody that you would play a song with in heaven who's already there, who would it be, and what song would you play?
It would be my papa. My papa passed right when I moved to Nashville, and he was the reason why I came to Nashville. He always told me I needed to come here because that's where the country music was. And the song that we always did out was "Old Yellow Moon" by Emmylou Harris and Ronnie Crowell.
Absolutely. And what is the most powerful, immersive, and out-of-body experience that you've had in music?
out of body experience. I think the most powerful experience that I've had was playing an arena show. Me and Woody and Carolina Pine got to open up for Alan Jackson. One of the shows was in New Orleans. And that stage exactly was where I had first seen Dolly Parton live, and got to meet her backstage. And it was surreal for me to play the same stage that she had played just a few years prior. And I'd watched her from the audience. And standing on that same stage when I watched her on that stage was wild. It was pretty cool.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's the end of our time together, but thank you so much for chatting with me. That's such a blast to really learn about your life growing up and everything that you've been doing so far. To the listeners who made it this far into the episode, thanks so much for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with American Country Americana singer-songwriter and 3 times related trio member and member of Carolina Pine duo, Kennedy Scott. You can connect with Kennedy on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or on TikTok. You can help support my show. Please feel free to share with family, friends, or on social media. You can find me on all podcast streaming platforms as well on social medias. I've been your host, Shane McKeld, saying thanks for tuning into the show.